Palm Sunday, as we know it in the church calendar, is a story full of symbolism and symmetry, metaphor and meaning. And also, when you think about it, it's a pretty strange story as well. Let's look at the details we just heard. The long trek from Galilee to Jerusalem is finally over. As the ragtag caravan following Jesus approaches the great city, two disciples are sent ahead to secure some transportation for him. And then, like a scene from a buddy cop movie where an officer flashes his badge and tells a motorist that he needs this car, the disciples commandeer a donkey and a colt for the Lord's purposes. And then Jesus rides not a donkey or a colt, but the donkey and the colt into Jerusalem. Picture that for a moment. And then once in the city, the people seem very happy to see Jesus, so happy that they take knives to their greenery and start waving large branches around, palm branches in other tellings of this story, and they set them down on the road as he passes. Hosanna, they shout. Hosanna, this is surely the Son of David, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. And amongst the hosannas and branch waving and the general turmoil, someone turns to their neighbor and asks, "So, who is this?" This strange little story is found in all four Gospels and very likely has its roots in an actual historical event. It is a story just bursting with symbolism and symmetry, metaphor and meaning, all trying to untangle the mystery of who is this Jesus? Now, for the Gospel writer Matthew anyway, the answer is quite clear. Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. He is the one promised in Scripture. He is the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel. As I've mentioned before, Matthew quotes Jewish Scripture more than any other Gospel writer to bolster this claim. And he does it again in our reading this morning. He quotes from the prophet Zechariah, who is among the first wave of Jewish exiles who returned from the Babylonian captivity. Zechariah's words were intended to rekindle a spiritual flame that had been doused by generations under the thumb of empire. Zechariah tells the people, "Rejoice gladly, O daughter of Zion, shout. O daughter of Jerusalem, behold your king coming unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey, even upon a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, you may have noticed that Zechariah is not clear whether the Savior is to approach riding on a donkey or a colt. So Matthew, wanting to take no chances that his readers would fail to make the connection, puts Jesus on both a donkey and a colt. Now, Matthew also tells us that Jesus is coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. At this time, Passover was one of the three annual pilgrimage festivals where the entire population of Judah traveled to the temple in Jerusalem to celebrate the people's deliverance by God from oppression in Egypt. The palm branches that the people laid before Jesus were symbolic of another of these pilgrimage festivals known as the Sukkot, or the Festival of Ingathering. During this festival of ingathering, people would live in makeshift dwellings made of palm branches to remember the 40-year journey with Moses in the wilderness. They would live in these fragile dwellings of palms to reconnect with the fragility of their own lives and to remember their dependence on God and God's will. One final detail I want to highlight from our Palm Sunday story is that when the crowds see Jesus, they are moved to shout, "Hosanna. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna." Given the apparent festive atmosphere of the scene, we might expect Hosanna to mean something like, "Hooray! Hooray for the sports hero waving to the crowds from a white convertible in a Main Street victory parade. Hooray!" But hooray is not what Hosanna means. Not at all. Hosanna means, "Save us. Save us." The crowds are not cheering Jesus. They are asking him, pleading with him, to save them. This is not a parade of celebration. It is a parade of desperation. The cries from the crowd are raw, visceral, coming from the depths of need. "Hosanna! Save us," they cry. Without knowing him, without even knowing his name, the people recognize Jesus as a liberator, as a fulfillment of hope. This certainly speaks to the presence of Jesus in their midst, but also speaks to the state of mind of the crowds. These were a people under Roman occupation. In their response to Jesus, we see how very fearful they were. On the same day that Jesus entered Jerusalem from the east, another parade, a military parade led by Pontius Pilate and his imperial guard, was entering from the west to surveil the crowds gathered for Passover. Spears and chariots and soldiers of war, all symbols of the people's powerlessness in their own city. In their response to Jesus, they display what's on their hearts, their anxiety over their vulnerability, their fearfulness for their future, their worry for themselves, their families, and their neighbors. Hosanna! Hosanna! Save us. I've got a personal question for you. How have you been sleeping recently? I haven't been sleeping that well. You see, I'm a worrier. I worry. I can't help it. It's just how I'm made. I remember as a kid, I would wake up in the middle of the night and walk around our house and check on my family members and my dog just to make sure they were all okay. And in the past weeks, I've started doing it again. I wake up and start thinking about all the people I love. My family, my friends, my work colleagues, you, the people of Metropolitan. I picture your faces and maybe where you sit in church or interactions I've had with you in meetings or in other gatherings. There in the night, I hold you in my heart and I hope you are okay. For many of us, this time of COVID-19 is marked by fear and anxiety and worry. And I'm a worrier, so I wake up and I worry about the healthcare workers and the grocery store clerks. I worry about the letter carriers and the delivery drivers and the restaurant workers. I worry about the people living in shelters and in long-term care facilities. This virus makes me feel vulnerable. And so there in the night, in my own way, I too say, Hosanna. Hosanna. Save us. If you were to take all the scripture of our tradition, all the books of history and prophecy, all the gospels and the letters and the wisdom texts and the Apocrypha, and distill them down to their essence, to a single verse, I think we might just find that verse in our psalm reading today. Five words in Psalm 118, verse 2. God's steadfast love endures forever. That's it. God's love is resolute and true and does not end. God's love is not contingent on our creeds or the color of our skin or how much money we have. It's not dependent on what we have done or not done. It's not fleeting or fragile. It's not bound to the whims of this world. God's love is steadfast and enduring, distilling our faith to its essence. God does not let us go. There's a line in the United Church's theological document, A Song of Faith, that says of Jesus, "So filled with the Holy Spirit was he that in him people experienced the presence of God among them." I'll say that again. So filled with the Holy Spirit was he that in him people experienced the presence of God among them. Putting aside the colts and the donkeys, the palms and the hosannas, I think this is what happened on that first Palm Sunday in Jerusalem. From within their place of fear and anxiety and worry, the people experienced the presence of God among them. Without knowing him, without even knowing his name, they recognized in Jesus God's love for them. They saw God's desire for them to be free and whole, connected and cherished. In an instant, they experienced a love that would never let them go. In the Jewish festival of ingathering, people live in fragile shelters made of palm branches to remind them of the fragility of life and their dependence on God. It is a time to remember what is truly important and how of people of God ought to live in response to God's love. We are in a time of fear and anxiety and worry, and yet we still live in response to that same love. What if we saw this time of social distancing as an in-gathering, as a time to gather into what is truly important, the relationships, the memories, the discoveries? What if we use this time of in-gathering to remember how very blessed we are? The writer of Psalm 118 goes on to say that the response to God's enduring love is gratitude. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our days may be marked with worry, but we can still rejoice and be thankful and remember our responsibilities as a people of God. Our present social distance does not have to result in social isolation. We can still check in with the friend and the family member and the neighbor to make sure that they are okay. We can still pray for each other and hold each other in our hearts. If we have an abundance, we can share it. We can buy groceries for someone who can't. We can help navigate technology for someone who doesn't know how. We can support financially struggling local businesses. We can donate to organizations on the front lines of this crisis, those who will positively change how we will come out of it. And as we care for each other, we can care also for ourselves. We can tend to our own physical, mental, and spiritual well-beings. This is something that I'm working on, and I encourage you to as well. There still may be restless nights ahead, but we are not helpless. We have the power to shape the character of our ingathering. We can still be a people of God. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, the people asked, "Who is this?" To be a community in Christ's name means revealing what he revealed that day. So filled with the Holy Spirit was he that in him people experienced the presence of God among them. Distill faith down to its essence, and we are left with God's steadfast and enduring love for us and for all of creation. In gratitude and in joy, we can pick up the palm branches of our fragile lives and cry out from the depths of our being, "We are not alone. You are not alone. God loves you and will never let you go." Amen.